know, I am thankful for the debt that has been paid on my behalf. There was nothing I could do to overcome my own sin, to enter into the presence of a mighty, holy God. All I did was deserved hell. That God took the punishment of death for my sin upon His Son, Jesus Christ, and paid the debt that I could never pay. This morning, we're going to begin a new study of church membership. I've entitled this series, Membership Matters. And this morning, we're going to be looking at why a church in Ephesians chapter 3. But you know, one of the things that I absolutely love is history. I love to read about all the things in the past. I love to study history, and I love it so much that even while I was in seminary, I focused on church history. And as I was going through church history, I just learned that there was so much that we can learn from the past. We can see where the church has been, what the church has done. We can learn from the great leaders that God has used in mighty ways to expand His kingdom. And as I studied church history, one of the things that I began to discover was that in our past, we have seen that the church used to be the center of everything. Literally, the church in many cities and many little towns, the church was the center of the town. Everything in that town would be built around the church. Everything that happened in these towns revolved around the church. The church was an institution that was respected. It was a place where the decisions were made for the well-being of the town. The church was a place of hope. The church was the place that had answers your times of need, or at least it was the place that you could go in your times of need, because everybody knew where the church was. As I said, literally the towns were built around the churches. But let's be honest about today. Those days are gone. The church itself has fallen on rough times. In our culture, the church definitely is no longer a respected institution within our culture. The church is certainly no longer the center of our society or our communities. For most people, they don't even know where churches are. They might drive by the building every single morning and every single evening on the way home, but they don't even know the name of the church. You say, well, we're from this church. They're like, where's that church? It's that big building on the hill. Oh, that's a church? I didn't know that was there. When we no longer have, the church no longer has that place in culture and society. And many argue that the reason why the church is facing these days is because of the negative news that has been coming out of these churches, such as the stories of sexual abuse by a few ministers or the greed by others. And they argue that these stories have tarnished the testimony of the church. And while this is true, and it is true that the shortcomings of these ministers have made the jobs of those who are trying to glorify God and all that they do more difficult, I believe there is something much greater at play. Some say it's not the leaders of the church, but it's the practice of the church that has caused it problems. Today, many outside the church perceive the church as being more concerned about buildings and budgets, nickels and dimes, piety and pretense, rather than on people and their problems. And even though people are still searching for meaning, they are no longer looking to the church to find that meaning. Yes, in our culture, spirituality is in, but the church is definitely out. And this thought has led many to even question the relevance of the church today. But let me just say, it's not just those outside the church who are questioning the relevance of the church. It's even those who are inside the church who have grown frustrated. Because they often view the church as being seen as an institution that puts form before substance, tradition before truth, and conformity before creativity. And some in the church have even said because of this, they need to leave the church in order to save their faith. Just look around you here this morning and you will see the truth of this reality. The millennials, which is someone, the millennial generation, which is someone who is born between 1982 and 2004, in which I'm actually a part of that generation, even though it is estimated that they are largely unreached, that only about 10 to 15% of the millennial generation are followers of Christ, but you're even finding out of that 10 to 15% who say that they are followers of Christ, many of them are largely uninvolved with the church today because they have become extremely frustrated with the church, and so they are not connected with the church at all. Lone wolf Christianity is very common among this generation, to where their Sunday morning worship consists of them going to Starbucks and having their time with God there in the Word by themselves. And they say, I've been to worship this morning. And let me just say that this attitude, this idea, was even prevalent among those whom I was at seminary with. I heard so many people say, don't mess with an organized church. Don't go to a church that's been around a while, because all you're going to end up doing is becoming frustrated and leave the ministry. Instead, just go find a group of Christians and start meeting together on your own and form a new church. And that was often the idea of many people. And so what we have seen is even George Barna, the Christian pollster, has written that large numbers of American Christians have become disillusioned with the church. Through these polls, he has shown that many Christians are leaving the church, and he has labeled these church dropouts as revolutionaries because they are seeking something that is impacting not just their own lives, but also that is impacting the lives of the people around them. And so as we look around us today, we see that there are many Christians who see themselves as part of the universal church, but they do not participate in a local church body. And so churches are trying to combat this attitude, this idea that's floating around, and now they're beginning to even discredit the idea of formal membership. And in many ways, they are even removing membership completely and saying, we are just the people who come together. We no longer have an actual membership. But I believe that all this is going to do is worsen the problem. Because the problem is, I believe, began when we began to lessen the meaning of church membership. When church membership became just another casual idea, something that has very little meaning. That membership today has often lost its importance. And so that is why this morning we are beginning this new series that we're going to be in for the next few weeks, Membership Matters. And as we look at God's work and His purpose for the church, I hope what we will learn is that membership in a church is very important. That membership does matter. That membership in a church is different than everything else in this world. That church membership is not like membership in a country club. That just because we're members, that we get special privileges, that we get invited to all the special events, and we get special privileges concerning the use of the property. Church membership is not like that. Church membership is not like membership to a social club in which you come together and have fellowship with one another. And for many of these organizations, you join as a way of creating a powerful network so that you can climb the social or the corporate ladder. No, church membership is not like any of these things. Membership in church means that it is through that church that you are going to fulfill your role as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That you are going to fulfill your role as part of the body of Christ. Church membership means that within that local body, you are seeking to be obedient to Christ by choosing this local body as a place to serve, as a place to minister, as a place to evangelize, to study, and to be a blessing to others. Yes, church membership is a commitment that we make to one another as we come together as one body in Jesus Christ. And not only will we see through this study that membership is important, but over the next few weeks, we're also going to be looking at what membership entails. What does it mean for you as a member, and what does it mean for the church when someone says that they want to become a member? And I hope to answer all of these questions over the next few weeks. But this morning, we want to set the foundation for this series. And we're just going to start off with a bang. I debated on whether to start with this or to end with this, but I felt it was most important to start with it, to say, this is the main reason why membership is important. And so if you have your Bibles here this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And before we read this passage, let me just give you the context of what Paul is writing about here. In chapter 1, Paul began this great and amazing letter with a beautiful description of our salvation, of how we are saved from our sins, that we are saved for God's glory. And so, therefore, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, it says, "But God, being rich in his mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." Well, now that's the theology. That's what he's focusing on, that act of salvation by which we were saved, by God's grace. But what about the application? What does that theology mean in our lives? And the first implication of that theology is when Paul begins to discuss at the end of chapter 2 that the dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles has been destroyed. It's completely gone. There is now no division amongst God's people. Verses 14 through 15 speak of this wall being destroyed. And it is in that context then that Paul begins here in chapter 3. So let's begin reading here in verse 1. "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly." He's talking about this mystery of salvation. "When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for all ages in God who created all things." Now listen and watch really closely here. This is how God plans to reveal this mystery to the world. Verse 10, "So that through the church," did you catch that? "So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord." I love that passage. It says, as you read through the book of Ephesians, you will very quickly learn that the focus of the book of Ephesians is not on you and your own happiness. That's not where you go if you're looking for that. No, the focus of the book of Ephesians is God, a God who has chosen us and his infinite wisdom, us and his infinite wisdom to bless us with all these spirits. spiritual blessings, and how it is our privilege then to participate in God's work of redemption and to share all these blessings with everyone around us. And so it's not a surprise then, as we look at Paul's discussion of the church and his view of the church, to realize that his view of the church is exactly the same. And it's not the way that most of us discuss it. Just like in the rest of the book, Paul does not look at the church in terms of what can I get out of the church, but instead, what does God get from the church? And through this passage, we begin to see that membership, that church membership matters. And the first reason why church membership is important is because we play a part in God's plan. There in that passage, specifically verses 10 and 11, we can see that Paul says that it was God's intent that now, through the church, according that his wisdom be made known, and that this was according to his eternal purpose. See, that reveals to us there that the church was not an afterthought. That the church just didn't come around by accident. That the church was not a product of the work of Paul. It wasn't a product of Peter. It wasn't a product of John. It wasn't a product of any of the apostles. But from the very beginning of time, the church was part of God's plan to redeem his people and to bring all of them together as one. Before God even created Adam and Eve, he intended to break down all the dividing walls that separated his people and to bring them together through the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, part of the mystery that Paul is talking about here is God bringing all things and in heaven and on earth to under one head. And he is using the church to carry out this plan. Even with all its problems that the church has, the church is God's tool for advancing his kingdom and his plan here on earth. And the way he does that is by the fact that he created each one of his children to be part of the body, to be part of the body of the church. And he has gifted each of his children with a unique ministry to carry out within that body. Do you realize what that means? It means that every single one of us, all of us who are here, who are God's children, have a role to carry out in God's plan. That's amazing to think about, isn't it? That every single one of us have a role to carry out in God's plan. And the problem is that that's not often how we think about the church. We often think about the church like we think about sports teams. That, you know, with every sports team, there's usually a superstar, or there's the MVP of the team. You know, like Kobe Bryant is the superstar, the MVP of the Los Angeles Lakers. He's the main guy. He's the starring role there. And we think the church is like that. Well, the church, we think, has these starring roles, these people who are more important. But that's far from the truth here, because the church does not have any starring roles. We think maybe it's the pastor, maybe it's the deacons, maybe it's the directors of all these different ministries. But no, there is not one starring role in the church. Because within the body, there is not one role that is more important or less important than any of the others. Some might be more visible, but that doesn't make them any more crucial to carrying out God's eternal plans through the church. So why then is membership important? It's not because you're finding a place where you can have your needs and preferences met. It's because it's a place where you can play your part in God's eternal plan. The second reason why church membership is important is because we are a witness to Christ's work. Paul says that this is a work that was realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. This whole process process that goes on when we come to Christ of changing our lives and of us uniting as one was accomplished totally and completely through the work of Jesus Christ. Paul emphasizes this throughout his letter as he continuously uses phrases like in Christ, in Him, or similar references to the work of Jesus as the basis of all spiritual blessings that we have received. And it's so it would be no surprise then that the church itself is also a direct result of what Jesus has done. That is why Paul earlier described the church as the body of Christ and as the fullness of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, it says, He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Perhaps Paul here was influenced by the words of Jesus Himself. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says, And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you notice there in that passage how Jesus refers to the church? Jesus says, It is My church. Big Spring Baptist Church is not my church. It's not your church. It's not even our church. No, it is Christ's church. It is His church because He is the one who has done everything that was required to bring this church into existence. He is the one who tore down the dividing walls of hostility so that Jews and Gentiles, blacks and whites, men and women, and yes, even Vols, Crimson Tide, and Gators can all come together as one body, as one church. And when we come together in the church, we become the church that Jesus died to create. We testify to everyone that Jesus has indeed everything that Paul claims He has done for the church, so that the church can come together as one. Because see, we are not here this morning because we want to be. We are not here this morning because of anything that we have done. We are not here this morning because we're more special than anyone else. We're not here this morning because this is the place where all the cool people hang out. No, we are here this morning because of the amazing work that Christ has done in our lives. That Christ has forgiven us of our sins. That He has made us into a new being, a new creation. Everything about us has changed. And that is why we come together. We come together as one because if we have believed in Christ, then everyone has exactly the same story everyone else has. We all have experienced that great, amazing work of salvation. That's why we're here. That's why we come together. And when we come together as a church, we are testifying that amazing work to the world around us. So why is church membership important? It's because we become part of a body. And as we become part of that body, we are tearing down walls that might separate us in this world. It doesn't matter what one's ethnicity is. It doesn't matter what one's socioeconomic standing is. It doesn't matter what one's personal family background is. It doesn't matter what one's religious background is, or any of the other differences that might separate us in this world. But we say none of that matters because we come together as one because we all serve the same God. We all have the same Spirit living within us. That's why church membership matters, as we testify that to the world. The third reason why church membership matters in this passage that we find here is that it is important because it generates God's glory. Paul says there in verses 10 and 11 that the manifold wisdom of God is being made known through the church to the rulers and to the authorities in the heavenly realms. It's all being revealed. How? It's being revealed through the church. First of all, you know, the question that comes up is, who are these rulers and authorities? Paul has referenced them earlier in his letter in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Also in chapter 6, Paul describes the spiritual battle that we are that requires us to put on the armor of God. And Paul uses the same terms as those who are fighting against. So there's a big debate that goes on here about, is he talking about demons? Is he talking about evil, you know, the evil spirits, the evil principalities? Or is he talking even about good ones at times? And that really doesn't matter. We're not going to get into that debate. But the point that Paul is making here is that these spirits began, whoever they are, they began to observe the church here on earth, and that the church then is the instrument that God uses to demonstrate his manifold wisdom, not just to the people here on earth, but also to the heavenly beings. Isn't that an amazing thought? By being part of the church here on this earth, I not only participate in God's wisdom being manifested, being shown to the people in this world, but it is also showing God's glory, his wisdom, to all the heavenly beings. And when his wisdom is shown, God receives glory. See, the church is the earthly manifestation of God's plan, of his wisdom, of bringing together such different groups, such as Jews and the Gentiles, through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's everyone. Could you just imagine if we were all the same? It'd probably be much easier for us all to get along. We'd probably never disagree. We'd probably say, hey, all right, my vote's for that. Well, we have a problem. Everybody's going to raise their hand. Everybody has the same, because everybody's the same. But a church is full of people with different personalities, different thoughts, different desires, all these differences. And when we can come together as one and get along and agree with each other, then God receives glory. Why? Because that is not natural in this world. We don't see that any other place. People stick together with people who are like them. They create community with people who are like them, with people who agree with them, with people who dress like them, with people who live like them. But the church is different. The church is full of many different kinds of people. Sometimes they don't always agree on every little thing, but still when it comes to the church, they say, we are one. I might have not liked you out in the world, but I love you here in Christ. That brings glory and praise and honor to God, because there is such difference. So the end result of our participation in the church is that God gets all glory for his manifold wisdom, the plan by which all of his children are brought together as one church through Jesus Christ. So I want to ask few questions as we close here this morning. And I want to ask, first of all, those who are members, I want to ask you this morning, how do you view your membership? Does the church exist as a means to make you a happier, better, more content person? Does your membership mean it's just the place where you go on Sunday mornings to meet together? Does your membership mean it's just the place where you get to go and you get to talk about everything that's been going on this week? You get to, you know, talk about what's going on in the world with others around you? Or is the membership a place where we exist within the community we call the church in order to be part of something that is much bigger than ourselves? Are you part of the body in order to play your part in God's eternal plan, to be a witness to the sufficiency of Christ's work, and to generate the glory of God? Is that what membership means to you? Because membership matters. It's not some casual thing. And perhaps here this morning you've been thinking, I've been searching for that community. I've been searching for a community where it doesn't matter who I am, that I can be accepted as part of them. I've heard so many times people saying, I just want that community. There was a lady who I heard speaking at the Southern Baptist Convention. She was used to be a practicing homosexuality, or homosexual, practicing homosexual. And she said that the just the community between homosexuals is so amazing, so tight, that you just share everything with one another. And then she said, but Christ saved her from that. And she became part of the church. And she says, now I truly experience what community is. Because all of her friends, before she came to Christ, now want absolutely nothing to do with her. They've said, we can't spend time together. She says, why? Because you don't believe the same way I do anymore. But she says, in church, you can come together as one from many different backgrounds, from no matter highly educated or very little educated, no matter whether black or white or yellow or purple or blue, no matter if you have money or you don't have money, no matter if you were a Catholic or an atheist or a Muslim or a good old-fashioned Southern Baptist, that you can come together as one in the name of Jesus Christ. And maybe that's the type of community you have been seeking. But it all begins with a relationship with Christ. Because the church portrays the work of Christ that has been done, of trusting in Him as your Savior, trusting in Him for the forgiveness of your sins, understanding that you cannot do it on your own, that you cannot beat it, that you cannot overcome it, that you cannot wash it away, but through Christ and through trust in Him and through making Him King of your life, you can enter into one of the greatest communities of all, the church. And it is in the church that we set aside those differences. And we say, you can be part of us. And we will care for you. We will love for you. We will be there for you. And the same is true of you for us. That is the community of a church. That is why church membership matters. Because it is when we join a church and become part of a church that we do all of these things. We play our part in God's plan. We are a witness to God's word. And then we generate glory for God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done. Father, so many times it is easy for us to say that membership, us being part of a church, isn't important. And we can just do everything on our own. We don't need to be part of that. We don't need to join together with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But Father, we have seen that it is as we join together in a local body and we become one, that we are fulfilling the plan that you have. God, it is through the church that you are revealing your wisdom to this world. Father, I pray that we as a church, that we will be that. That we will understand what it means to join together as one. That we will present to the world a united front, a united stand saying we join together no matter all of these things that might separate us, all of these things that usually would keep us apart in this world, but we can come together now under the saving power of Jesus Christ, through the work of His Holy Spirit, through the Spirit who now is living and residing within us. How we can love one another, how we can encourage one another, how we can build one another up because of that. And people will say, that is what true community is. Father, I pray that through us, through our membership, that people will see you. They will not see Big Spring Baptist Church. They will not see us as individuals. They will not see me as the pastor, but that they will see you and say, that church is all about God. Father, if there be one here this morning who is been desiring and searching for that community, searching for that peace and hope, Father, I pray that they will come to know you, because it is only through you that we can experience it, through your saving power. So, Father, I pray that you would work on their hearts and souls, convicting them of their sins, so they will turn to you and make you king of their lives. And we pray for all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together and sing. Father, we